And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and I have Fury! But we'll get to that later. And of course, joining me today is Wario Will.
Of all characters to be revealed, it had to be Minecraft Steve.
Yeah.
What kind of timeline are we living in 2020? What kind of time we are living in now?
And we're going to be talking about this a lot this episode, but I just want to note one thing. 2020, I'm talking directly to you. Haven't you taken enough from us? I mean, you've done wildfires, a pandemic, you ruined my Comic-Cons, okay? You took away Wonder Woman 1984. I don't even know if we're going to make it to that Christmas debut. I doubt it. You took away Black Panther. Not cool. And now you take away a potential life-changing DLC character from Smash Bros. And you give us Minecraft Steve? I blame you! And you alone! I have Fury. Now, if you're waiting for Tellius Tyler to join in and try and defend Minecraft Steve, well, you are not in luck. Because his mother is having her birthday today, so he will not be here today. And so if you are waiting for him to defend the glory of Minecraft Steve, you'll have to wait till next week if I let him talk. All right. Okay, for the record, Tyler he's okay with it. Like, he's not happy, but he's okay with it. And we had kind of a debate on Twitter about this. But we'll get to that when he does return. But We're gonna put the Fury aside for a little bit, okay, and we're gonna continue on because again, last week we had our fun 200th episode. We highly recommend you go watch this again. And today is our official 4-year anniversary of NEP, and so we're gonna start off 201 on the 1st of October, which is 10. So you see, nice, all nice and connected, And I'll start off with, what have you been playing? Not much. It's a story of my life. Every time I think I'm about to, you know, have like a nice lazy day and everything, then it's like, oh no, you thought you were getting off easy. No. So I think I've played one level in three houses. I'm getting ever closer to the end of my Silver Snow run, and I just killed Edelgard again. And saved Rhea, so yay, I guess. But it is interesting seeing how the Silver Snow run is slightly different in terms of cutscenes and everything. And like, I'm glad we actually saw us saving Rhea instead of just saying, oh yeah, you saved Rhea, and then she relinquished command. I would have liked to actually talk with the woman first in the Blue Lions run, just saying. But I'm not going to say when I'm going to get it done because I know my Friday and my Saturday and my Sunday are already booked. Dang it. But it's a thing. And of course, I've been playing Fire Emblem Three Houses, Fire Emblem Heroes, and trying to collect a lot of orbs because I'm saving up for the new banner whenever that comes. And then we had the Mythic Hero banner with probably one of Will's favorite characters, the Lewd Dream Fairy. How did they get away with that? I mean, like, I know they've been skating by before, like, with Kamiya's talking and the various lines of, like, you know, you poking the people and then getting them to talk and everything, and, like, that's all subjective. But when you call someone a lewd dream, like, you can't, there is nothing left of the imagination there. You can't fake that. You can't say, oh, but lewd doesn't mean lewd. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And Plumeria, or however you say her name,
Plumeria.
She says, yeah, Plumeria. She goes, I know your dreams, the dreams that you don't want anyone to know about. You can't interpret that any other way. How did they get away with this?
It's intelligent system. How many years have you known intelligent systems? And plus, again, if anything I've learned from the cipher art, the cipher card game, and of course, naturally everything else, yeah, it was pretty much was... if any of that was their plan to go with this. Because if the books are any signs, again, we just recently got Hell and, of course, Lithra Seer, so obviously going to get the fairies in the newest book. And last I remember as well, in the main story campaign, we just finished out taking out Plumeria. So yeah, she was basically bound for the next hero slot.
And that's
Although
fine. I'm not saying we shouldn't have summoned her, but like, you can't think of a better name than the Lewd Dream? I mean, come on.
even in the trailer review, like, they pretty much called out the fans, like, yeah, humans, why must you always be so vulgar?
Exactly. Again, there's right kids playing this, and they're going to the parents. Mom, there's a word in my game I don't understand. Oh, okay, honey. Well, what's the word? Lewd. I'm sorry. Well, there's this fairy in the game, and she calls herself the Lewd Dream. And she goes, let me. And then they're gonna say, let me see the game. And can you bring up the character? And then they're gonna look at the character art for Plumeria. And she goes, what kind of game is this, boy? You know, or
Yeah,
something.
and last I checked that thing, I believe the rating is R-T rating at best.
It is?
Yeah, it is a
Is
T
it? I
rating
don't remember. I thought
on
it
the
was
Play Store.
E10 for whatever reason.
E10, call please.
Oh, I know. I would react the same way, but yeah, if it's teen, then yeah, I guess they do get a pass. But seriously, Lewd Dream. My gosh. Oh yeah. And then when I tried to actually summon her, which I didn't honestly try that hard, I was just gonna do free summon. I didn't even get a red orb.
Okay.
I mean, so again, I wasn't gonna try. I hate the 8% banners. They're more of a sucker punch than anything else because they go, "Oh yeah, you'll have a much better chance," and then they'll be like burning through orbs trying to get my characters, and then it's like, "Oh no, you're gonna get all the other characters and not the mythic or legendary hero that you were trying to get." So sorry. So no, I'm saving my orbs. I will take my chances with 3%. Okay, worked for me last time. Oh yeah, but aside from that, I also haven't been playing that much. But hey, we are getting close, ever closer to November, which means Hyrule Warriors is getting ever closer. So I will be playing that, and then I'm gonna probably ask my mom to get me the 3D All Stars for birthday, so that'll hold me over for a while. And I still got, and then we got the Crown Tundra, which we'll be talking about later, so that'll hold me off. So I've got something coming, but again, if I actually have the time, who knows?
It's definitely gonna be a busy holiday to say the least. So at least that's something to look forward to. So yeah, it's just so interesting about on my side. And yeah, I'm actually looking at the Play Store right now. Yeah, it is rated teen, T for teens for Fire Emblem Heroes.
Thank you.
So yeah, I mean, to contribute on the whole of Fire Emblem Heroes banner, yeah, like when I saw the banner, like, okay, let's go out for another sub. Service banner, quote unquote. I mean, we got with Plumeria, and my luck with this banner has been kind of an interesting. So as for me, like I started off with like 200 orbs at the beginning of this banner, and then after that, I've been did my first full session, and then I tried to basically pull reds for the most part. Like the first time I got a good rare, I got another leaf, which is like okay, and this one's actually a plus attack, so okay, good, a plus attack leaf. I'll take another one. I take a merge, and after that, I've just been pulling, and I got three. Yeah, I got actually two legendary Celebs during the time period. Like, okay, RNG gods, you hate me again? And then after, actually, then funny enough, this morning at the yeah at the before the Smash Brothers news, I actually did manage to get my Plumeria in the beginning of the morning. Like, okay, one red, I got it. And I believed, and Plumeria came to me.
Did she come to you in a lewd dream?
Oh, there are many things that can come in ways in Twitter, but I digress.
Yes, you better digress.
Plumeria finally came, so I'm now back to saving up my orbs. And it's also a very funny thing as well, because as you know, another voting gauntlet has it's taking place right now, and it
Yes.
is ponytails versus pigtails, which is.
Yeah. I wasn't sure who to pick because honestly, I wasn't really a big fan of any of these characters, so I just picked Tilda because I'm like, yeah, that's one I kind of care about, so.
For me, I picked it with Kiara. Yeah, Fire Emblem Tokyo Mirage Sessions. That, and he's currently she's covering off facing off against Duma, which yeah, he's the only god in this matchup. Like Duma rocking that pig that ponytail. Like okay, Duma versus Kiara. I wonder who would win. But yeah. Pigtails versus ponytails. Yeah, interesting voting gauntlet to say the least. But yeah, so it's interesting. It's interesting. And actually, the other thing I've been actually playing as well is the has been taken the word the internet bit by storm is called Genshin Impact. If you recall, it has been shown off for Nintendo Switch, but for me, I actually, and also available on other mobile devices, but for me, I've been playing on the PS4 version. And a lot of people basically compared this thing as Breath of the Wild, but with waifus. And I can see the similarities. Even the developers themselves, they said they are ex inspired by Breath of the Wild, including the whole climbing of all surfaces, which you can climb, and there is a stamina meter. And gotta say, it's pretty solid for what it is. Like, right now, it's still obviously in early. There's still some bugs. I mean, I can only imagine how it is on PC version. So I've heard some things about it, but playing on PS4, it holds up pretty well. It's some lag here and there, but overall, it is a fairly action game with like a bit of an like an online MMO flair to it in a sense. But this thing is like, I'm just really surprised about the whole production value of Genshin Impact. And I know they did say it was also available on Switch, but I need to probably have to try it out to see if it holds up, because like, even on a PS4, it is pretty demanding. Even like, there's pop-ins, all that, and of course the action gets a bit hectic here and there. So there's that, and of course naturally this is a free-to-play game. There is a gacha system where you can actually summon heroes and like summon weapons here, something similar to Jugalia Lost in a sense. And I tried my best, didn't get anybody, and but overall the content itself is actually pretty solid. So a lot of things to do, a lot of side quests, and just a lot of characters to basically customize your about. It's surprisingly deep. Good production value, but again, the whole gacha mechanics may turn off some people. But the fact you can actually play this thing is quite impressive. So yeah, that Genshin Impact is what it's called, and overall, it's not too bad, not too bad to say the least. So yeah, those are pretty much the only two major things I've been playing, and of course, naturally, just continuing on Ring Fit Adventure, which, yeah, again, keep working out, keep working out. That's all I can say.
All right, we've delayed long enough. It's time to unleash the fury. Oh, and talk about news. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. Allow me to set the stage for you, if I may. This all started in June when we heard that Min Min was going to Smash Brothers. And it was good because ARMS deserve to be represented, or so I believe, and I know others believe. And then the waiting happened, and the waiting, and the waiting, and the waiting, and then a light in the darkness. It was a revelation of a reveal happening on October 1st, and a speculation began to happen, and it multiplied and multiplied until finally the day came, and I was uncertain as to who would arrive in the Smash Brothers trailer, and the logo flashed, it counted down, and then whomp, whoosh, and then it was fighting, and there was more fighting. Then Mario got hit into a new area, and I was like, who? What area is this? It seems to be horror themed, because clearly surrounded by monsters, and yet I did not recognize these monsters. And then a block came out, and another block, and another block, and another block, and it was freaking Minecraft! Steve, I have fury! And if nobody got that reference, that was Agent Smith to Morpheus in the original Matrix film. Go watch a movie. So, yeah, we got Minecraft Steve. After months of waiting and hoping we could get a new Smash Brothers announcement, we get freaking Minecraft Steve. Are you kidding me? And again, I have fury. I am not happy about this. I am not happy about this at all. All right. This is, in my opinion, a total waste of a character. This is a waste of a slot. This is a waste. It's kind of an insult to many fans who've been asking for certain other characters, because now they have now only four more chances to get them in the game before. Remember, this is the last. These are the last sets. All right. This is the last DLC pack. After this, it's done. So we lost a key spot to Minecraft. Minecraft. All right. Now I have a conspiracy that I'm going to reveal, but will I will try and curb my fury so that you may talk.
Well, as much as you want to try to curb your salt mountains over there, like, it was
Can you make salt mountains in Minecraft? I don't know!
definitely. Well, again, you can't harvest salt in Minecraft,
Shut
but
up!
again. But either way, like, yeah, for me, it was definitely an interesting, especially when Mario came crashing through, and you, like, for m many sharp-eyed viewers, like, when you see that block outline, yeah, it was immediately Minecraft for a lot of
Yeah.
people.
Well, I actually saw that still eventually, and it is clear. But when you're watching it in real time and you're focusing on Mario, you don't look at that. You're looking at Mario, so. Ugh.
Right. And yeah, when I first like saw that, like, okay, it's getting creepy. It has a creepy vibe, like with Beaumont's right now. And like, oh wait, oh no, that silhouette. It's Minecraft Steve. And like, oh my God, it's the memes. The thing you only see in memes and internet memes, like all those years ago, like Minecraft Steve is gonna make it. Like, yeah, I mean, possibly, but I'm not gonna put it in a high tier list of my expectations. And then, like, when I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, the meme is real. And like that moment, like Steve looks at Mario, and Mario just looks in like in somewhat horror of like, what is this thing? And like, nom 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 nom. And like, and there's a boomer in the behind Mario. Like, nope, knock you off. It's like, oh my God, I just can't believe they would actually bring Steve. And I mean, the one thing I really liked about the trailer is like the music, because again, Minecraft actually has a pretty nice music, and this like the music choice of it is it was not half bad. I'll grant it that much. But and just how they showed off everything else, like Alex, the different skins of zombie and Enderman, is like my brain was lurching for the sense like, what the heck are they doing? But I really couldn't really place it under anger or like disappointment. I mean, like, okay, it was not what I expected, but I guess I can understand, because again, Minecraft is huge. It is the current generation that the generation this generation's big game, aside from like Mario and all that. So I mean, again, it is a top seller, and of course naturally it's selling on all devices, so okay. It's so, I mean, sure, I would love for it to be Travis Touchdown for many who have been rumored, but Minecraft Steve is like, I'm not disappointed, but in a sense, I get it, because again, it's the band, and of course, the whole Sakurai philosophy of it is a celebration of gaming in general, so it can't be just whole. Be I don't know a whole entirely of a yeah not just a fire live, and then of course then with Minecraft Steve it's a celebration of all games, so I'm trying to keep it like as generally centered as possible, because again it is gaming, so don't rule out anybody, because now this with Minecraft Steve being here in this roster is like, yeah, anybody can make it now. It just continues with that. It's like, okay. And then of course naturally Sakura explained the situation, like, hey, you think you go and put in Minecraft Steve? And like, yeah, just putting Sakura into so much pain to actually had to reprogram all the stages to suit up with Minecraft Steve is like, oh man, Sakurai.
Yeah, I'll be getting to that in a minute. That's
And you still got
that,
four
you
more
know.
slots left. It's like, okay. So overall impressions, like, okay, I'm not disappointed, but the same that it wasn't in my expectations. But again, I can understand why they want to put Steve. So I wanted Travis Touchdown. I wanted something else, but Steve is like, okay, I can understand. I'm not happy per se, but I get it. Yeah, so that's currently where my mood was when I saw this thing.
No, I don't get it. All right? And yes, I acknowledge I have never played Minecraft in my life, not on any system, not on the Switch, nothing. All right? And but I do get it. I understand the appeal of Minecraft. It's a realm of infinite creativity. I remember seeing YouTube videos for like I can't remember what I was watching, but it was showing off things in Minecraft, like someone had made the USS Enterprise, someone had recreated a castle from Final Fantasy 13 or something like that. And they did it all with blocks. You know, I understand the appeal of Minecraft. There's a reason why it's the best-selling video game of all time. I get it. I really do. That doesn't mean it belongs to Smash Brothers! All right? Because when I think about all the characters that haven't made it or won't make it for one reason or another, I think of like Zero, who is an assist trophy. I think of Isaac, who's still not a pr present. Rex and Rex Pyra and Mithra, who Sakurai himself said he wanted to bring into the game originally, but he couldn't because of timing. Now he has the time. Are they going to do it? I don't know. But and then Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight's had a very loyal following on the Nintendo platforms, from the Wii U to the Switch, the 3DS, and beyond. You know, there are fans clamoring for Shovel Knight to be a game. He would fit perfectly in there, and would be something totally different between his shovel and his other mechanics. And did we get him? No, he got him as an assist trophy. All right, and then all the other third-party characters who a lot of people want to see, like Sora, or Travis Touchdown, or So angry, I'm blanking. But there are others. All right, both first and third party. There's a lot of characters that people want to see in Smash Brothers for one reason or another, and we lose out on them to Steve. I gotta be careful here. Like, I can't say he's not a fighting game character. Yes, neither was Rob or Duck Hunt or Ice Climbers or blah blah blah. But while I've always been saying that this is a game of gaming generations, and yes, Minecraft and Minecraft Steve are obviously part of the current and more recent gaming generations, again, going from just a simple title to the best-selling video game of all time. I get it. But it doesn't deserve the fighting game slot. And Tyler will fight me on this. He goes, I literally saw a tweet of his saying, like, you know, the trailer didn't feel like it was a real thing. And that, you know, it shouldn't, I'm disappointed, but he deserves to be in the title. I disagree. I disagree that he deserves to be in a title, because whether it's Duck Hunt Dog or Rob or Ice Climbers or Game & Watch, who obviously was another oddball pick, you know, you could understand how they could make them into fighting game characters in one way or another. And sometimes, yeah, they had to stretch it, like with Duck Hunt Dog, all right? Because the duck and the dog aren't really a tandem in the video game. You're actually shooting one, and the other collects the corpse before it mocks us repeatedly. And, you know, that's one thing. But with Minecraft Steve, yes, there is combat in Minecraft. This is true. But not exactly the most flamboyant combat ever. And now it's the whole thing has to be tailored around blocks, which, as Will noted, taxed Samurai extremely, because he had to modify every single stage to make sure it could work with the blocks. For that amount of time, I have no doubt he could have done another character quicker. Because it's less blocks, okay. And so here's my conspiracy. It came to me as I was venting pure venom. And why did they put Steve in here? Now the simplest answer is the one we've already talked about. It's the best selling game of all time. And obviously, if it's the best selling game of all time, it could be in the best selling fighting game of all time in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And that's a very one-to-one logical conclusion. And if it was just that, I might understand. But here's the thing. You could have put Steve as an assist trophy. He would have been totally fine. He could have done, like, one of those attacks where he puts the blocks around people so they can't get out for a while. That would have been a very simple assist trophy to do. Or you could have made him a skin for the Mii Fighters and then had, like, a Minecraft stage. That would have been fine. That would have been cool enough. But why did they put Steve in? And then it hit me. It's the best-selling video game of all time. Which means that there are a ton of players out there who have played Minecraft that haven't played Smash Brothers. So Smash Brothers has already sold 20 million units, as we noted a few weeks back. Minecraft, what are we at with Minecraft? Like 160 million? Something like that?
Something
like that. It's well over 150 million. I know that. So that's over 130 plus million players who haven't gotten the Nintendo's or the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So my conspiracy is that the real reason they put Minecraft Steve in here is not because he's a gaming icon in his own right. It's not because of, you know, the fanfare for Minecraft. It's because Nintendo wants Minecraft players to buy their systems to get Smash Brothers just so they could play as Minecraft Steve. More sales, more success for Smash Brothers and the Switch, and all because of Minecraft. It is a perfect conspiracy theory. Fight me, bro. Tyler! I know you can hear me!
It is a legit theory, in my opinion, because, again, like, Minecraft is big. There's no denying about that. And like now with it being pretty much available everywhere, and now like yeah, bringing more Minecraft into Smash Bros. Because one is that it's definitely gonna raise up Smash Bros. Sales more. Because again, if you know like Min Min, everybody else, Banjo-Kazooie, like okay, no, we're gonna bring in Minecraft, which no doubt about it, a lot more kids are gonna come in, like. So, this is Smash Brothers. Maybe I get Smash Brothers too. And yeah, they've got to bring in more kids to bring Smash Brothers. Would probably bring up raise up more sales for Nintendo, which I think that is a pretty much a likely thing. But of course, naturally as well, there's the idea that now we have two Microsoft characters now. We have Banjo-Kazooie, and now with Steve, Minecraft Steve. It's definitely an interesting thing that now, yeah, again, Nintendo and Microsoft have become so buddy buddy, and like Sony's been like, yeah, been by itself now, like with everything else. It's just so interesting to see how much people, and of course, again, just the generational impact of how this game is. And again, many people like Todd hates the fact, like again, Steve is now taking up a slot, but. In my perspective, I just feel like again, Steve was legit kind of like the next best thing, and of course, and I think there's like some theories that Nintendo higher ups wanted, like kind of like was on a bit of Sakurai, and plus this was like before, like already chosen beforehand. Sakurai can have a say in it, so it's. I mean, of course, you can speculate all you want, but when in the end, Minecraft is just again, it cannot be denied that it. Is a generational impact, and if one way or another, it probably can't. What is likely that it will be in Smash Bros. Just because, again, one like to put them on the same pedestal as Mario, like or like yeah, with these great gaming icons like Cloud, Banjo-Kazooie, Snake, Sonic, Pac-Man, Ryu, and yeah, to have Minecraft Steve to like be on the side with like even Joker, like it's unfathomable. But here we are in this reality that yeah, Minecraft Steve is with these great icons, whether you like it or not. And
Not.
I mean, again, you could either love it or hate it, but again, he's here to stay. Get used to it. Exactly.
Yeah, and hey, we've made, well, I wouldn't say made fun, but we questioned the arrival of Joker since day one, because it's like we really haven't had him on the on a Nintendo platform outside of Q2 Persona. That all being said, I prefer Joker to Minecraft Steve. Because Joker, at least in my opinion, A, fits the game better. Because that's the other thing. It's not just about, popularity. It's about fitting the game. And there have been characters like Duck Hunt Dog and others that you have to question if they really fit the game. Joker fit the game. Joker isn't an RPG. He has movesets. He had the various personas that he could use and incorporate in here. And of course, like Banjo-Kazooie, obviously he could work with all the various talents he's had, and Terry Bogard and Min Min and all of them. All the DLC characters fit in the game, whether you like them or not. But Minecraft Steve just doesn't. Does not. So
Again,
it's not cheery.
we'll definitely find out more information this coming Saturday
Don't
and
care.
how he's gonna like function. Again, we have the fact that there is a now they're gonna implement a new system with the whole Minecraft system that actually can make swords. Like again, making platinum's diamond sword on the fly is like okay, are we looking at another Pete situation but more deeper? Now you can make your own armor, make your own weapons for Steve or Alex or the other Echo skin characters is like. Okay, let's get to see how the Minecraft system is going to affect the Smash Brothers. It's going to be interesting.
See, now that the worst part is that we have to wait who knows how long for another Smash Brothers announcement to wipe away the stain that is Steve. Oh, and that's the other thing. We didn't even get a release date. They just sprung this on us and said, "Hey, here's Steve. Good for you. When's he coming out? Oh, we don't know, but we're going to tell you about him more on Minecraft Live. That's not why I'm here." So for all we know, he might not come out till the end of the month.
If anything else, I think like being a good, I feel like probably at the end of the year, it seems like because it seems like they have a pretty much solid, even with the whole COVID situation, I feel like they have a very good solid production on it. So at the earliest, I probably say this coming at the end of the year or by the latest, probably in the second half of next year. So that's my guess.
What are you talking about?
The release.
Of what?
Steve.
You think that Steve isn't coming out till next year?
At the second half of next year, I feel like at the earliest, probably in the, like in at the end of the year, I feel like.
What are you talking about, Will?
Minecraft Steve probably coming out at the end of I don't know, December. That's what I'm gonna probably at earliest.
Okay, A, that's just dumb. Okay. B, and I don't mean this to insult you, but I'm just saying, like we found out about Min Min the same day she came out. And now they've had like 4 or 5 months and they're working on Steve. Now you're saying that he won't come out until December? Or at most until the beginning of next year? That means that we've only had one Smash for this character this year. Doesn't that sound a bit odd to you?
Again, like you never know the factors of all of it. And plus, again, with Sakurai, I had to basically change the system. You never know. I mean, again, I don't know game development, so who can say?
I'm saying the end of October, maybe mid-November at the absolute latest, because there's no. I really. The Joker situation was different because they were teasing what was coming on the Smash Brothers release date, and then, of course, we had the whole, 6 months of waiting. And then they did Banjo and the Dragon Quest Hero, but that was because of E3, and then Terry was released day of, and then, let's see, that was. Four, five, four. So then, then Byleth was day of. Min Min was day of. Minecraft isn't, but maybe that was because of Minecraft Live. I don't know. So I highly doubt that they're gonna wait all the way to the end of this year to release Minecraft Steve, especially if they're already showing us and showing his move set on Saturday. So, yeah, no.
I mean, again, it's just a guess, so probably, who knows? Who knows? That's just my feeling. Okay, man.
So, yeah. We are very, very curious about your thoughts into the realm of Minecraft Steve being in Smash Brothers. Is your fury as great as ours, or are you one of the sad Minecraft fanboys out there who is rejoicing over him being in Smash? If you are, I pity you all. And if you're not, release your fury! Release it on the internet! Well, I mean, you've probably already done that by now, I'm not gonna lie. But release it again! Let the fury come out!
All right, freaking there's yeah, don't let the dark side flow through your veins. Like, do not let the anger flow through you.
Ah, been there. No, nothing. No, nothing, Will. Nothing for that. For those of you who don't get it, I keep saying I have fury because it's a reference to Fawful from Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, and Fawful was a member of the Bean Kingdom. Been there. Moving on. So, quite ironically, Steve was not okay. Well, Steve was a surprise, but Steve was not the thing we thought we were going to be talking about tonight because Nintendo also dropped a update on the Pokemon DLC for Sword and Shield. We had the official announcement of the release of Pokemon the Crown Tundra, Sword and Shield the Crown Tundra. It will be coming out on October 23rd. So we are not too far away from that, especially since it's now October somehow. And there was various confirmations via the trailer that was shown, including max raid battles allowing you to get every single legendary from the previous generations, which is a lot. So, and then of course there was also the reveal of the Galarian Slowking, which
Oh
looks
man.
kind of weird, I'm not gonna lie.
I as far as concerned, like when I first saw Galarian Slowking, like, oh my god, he is evil. And the fact that he's using the shell as like a mega buster can from Mega Man is like, okay, are you taking reference from Mega Man or like using that shell as a psychic beam cannon? Oh my god, that thing looks scary.
So there is that to look forward to, and then there will be, of course, more lands to explore, and you'll be able to travel with one of your Pokemon behind you. Apparently, I was noticing that in the game, and also the Galarian All-Star Tournament, which is the tag team tournament they were teasing before. You will actually get—I like this one—you'll actually get to choose your tag team partner. So if you want to tag team with Leon, do it. You want to tag team with Hop, do it. Marnie, sure. One of your favorite gym leaders, by all means. And then the rest of the squads will form up, and then you'll actually get to see them actually interacting with each other during the battle, which is a kind of a nice thing. So that's something to look forward to.
Right. That tag team tournament at that in the trailer is like that was pretty awesome. Like again, see Leon with his brother in the same battle at that tag team battle. Like okay, that's very good. Bring more fan fiction material over to with this thing. So it's definitely good to see. It's good to see. And of course, yeah. Earlier, as you said, all the legendary Pokemons from the entire generation, like the Galarian legendary birds, like okay, like is this gonna be the thing that's gonna bring back the game? Who knows? But the fact that also that he's selling this thing as well as a retailer version of the base game plus the season pass for full $90, when many people like myself bought it day release and have to buy the season pass afterwards, like it can't help but feel like a lot of people says like this is kind of like this. This is the complete game that was supposed to be released the first time around, which I guess I can understand that argument. So, I mean, again, Pokemon had that really horrible release of, like, again, the whole Pokédex thing and all that. So, it's a lot of things to think about, and fans are definitely split, I feel like.
I haven't gotten the Isle of Armor yet. I just been too busy and everything, but when Crown Tundra comes out, I'll probably just grab the expansion pass and then go from there. I'll probably enjoy it, especially since we're going to have a lull between this year and next once Age of Calamity comes out. Because like, at present, that's the last big release of the year. So this will tide me over with everything else that might be coming out. But I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun to catch all the legendaries. I think that'll be an interesting experience. But I don't know. We'll see how it is, but I think there's definitely some positives here. I found it very curious that they're going to release the bundles. If you didn't hear, they are going to be releasing Pokemon Sword and Shield with the expansion pass on November 6th. So if you somehow haven't gotten Sword and Shield yet, you probably should just wait for the 6th. That way you'll get everything all in one shot and at one price. So,
right.
I mean, that it makes sense. I mean, they've never done this before because they never had an expansion pass before. So why not bundle it together and increase sales? So we'll see how it goes. All right. Next up, we have Animal Crossing. Yay! They have released their free update for the Halloween season. And what you'll be able to do is, of course, decorate your island in Halloween apparel, including growing pumpkins, so you can make various jack-o'-lanterns and other Halloween items to horrify your island, literally and metaphorically. And, of course, you'll be able to costume yourself and go as make your character, villager, whatever you want. Then, of course, when Halloween comes, there will be a, I think it was like a six-hour period where you'll be able to go to, like, trick-or-treating. You'll actually get to hand out candy to make your villagers happy. And you'll get to meet Jack, your avatar of Halloween. So
the Pumpkin King Jack. Yeah.
There you go. So there's a lot to look forward to. So enough to get you back into Animal Crossing if you have somehow stopped. Somehow. Bless you if you have. But and then, of course, there's going to be another free update coming in November, where it will be Thanksgiving and Christmas focused, so stay tuned for that. And I appreciate these updates, even if I don't have the game, because it gives players something to look forward to. And, you know, and it's free. So it's not like, oh, you have to pay, like, you know, $2 to get this content. No, it's just, here you go, enjoy it, and, you know, make your island even more special. I appreciate that, especially with the success that Animal Crossing has brought to Nintendo, because it went from, oh, it might sell 5 million in a week, to, hey, let's sell, you know, 10 million, and then now it's 20, and it's just like, wow. So, as long as Nintendo keeps updating this game, there are good. It's a perfect evergreen title.
I agreed. It's just really, just amazing how this thing is still going on. And of course, again, we're still in a pandemic, so if people haven't gone back to work yet, then yeah, people can still be playing Animal Crossing even now. So yeah, new content coming in, of course, naturally with Halloween, of course, that, and then Turkey Day, and then Christmas. Yeah, we're pretty much gonna be set for a good rest of the year, if anything else, from Animal Crossing. So it's good on them. Good on them.
And on that pandemic note, I do want to talk about something that we've never talked about before on this show. John Oliver. So John Oliver is the host of the HBO show Last Week Tonight, and I think he's a closet poke or a closet Nintendo fanboy
Oh.
because he brings up Nintendo a lot on the show. He once did a Pokemon Go skit where they killed Jigglypuff on accident. He mentions Pokemon off and on. He mentions Nintendo off and on. And then during the beginning of, I was rewatching his coronavirus episodes because he's had like 10 of them to discuss the various details of the show. For those of you who don't know, what John Oliver does is he takes a topic every week and he discusses it for like 15 to 20 minutes and breaks down the truth of the matter, like the actual real truth of the matter, discusses why it's good, why it's bad, and what we need to do to fix things. And he noted that, you know, there's a lot of conspiracies going on about the coronavirus, and one of them was like, did Nintendo create the coronavirus so that we would all be stuck at home to play Animal Crossing? I don't think so. It's possible, but I don't think so. But it's possible.
I saw that. I saw that.
And I was just like, that was perfect, because it's like that we joked about that. We joked about that here. It was like, you know, isn't it convenient that right before Animal Crossing comes out, the world locks down, and now we have nothing to do but play Animal Crossing? It's the perfect coincidence, or is it? So yes, it is. We're obviously not accusing Nintendo of creating the coronavirus. Oh gosh, I mean, if they were that smart, they wouldn't have made Federation Force. Oh yeah. So I rewatched that episode, so I had to bring that up because it was just like that was too perfect. So John Oliver, bless you. We don't deserve you. Keep rocking, and congrats on your latest Emmy. So and yes, he really did win his fifth Emmy in a row, actually. Yeah. All right, moving on to other things. We have the release of Super Mario 35. Now, if you don't remember what this is a free download that you can get if you have Nintendo Online or Nintendo Switch Online. And basically, it's like Tetris 99, but it's Super Mario, and you're playing with 34 other people. All right, and as you progress through the game, you will progress through the levels. You'll be tripping up the other players so that you can be the last Mario standing. Now, much like Super Mario 3D All Stars, this is only available for a limited time. So if you want it, do not dawdle. Okay.
I need actually have to go and download it into my Switch right now. And yeah, it just seems very interesting. Like, again, Battle Royale platformer Mario. Like, yeah, and from what I've seen from the gameplays of it, like, yeah, if anybody has been like doing speed runs or just like really like practicing Super Mario levels since they were born, then yeah, like I kind of seen like leaderboards like with mostly of the Japanese players. So I was like, great, that's what we need, another Eastern nation supremacy. All that. It's like, okay, it's something. It's definitely an idea, and who knows, perhaps some people would actually have some fun with it. So yeah, a battle royale platformer Mario, why not? Why not?
Why not? Hey, we didn't think Tetris 99 would be a hit, and boy, were we wrong. That game was addicting. So, like, if I re-download something, it's gonna be Tetris 99. All right, like that was a great game to decompress and then totally stress over and then decompress with.
Yeah, I still remember when they were doing the tournaments as well with the whole Fire Emblem 3 Houses celebration, of course, like Ring Fit, all these different game collaborations
Yeah.
with the special themes. That thing was like, that's pretty much what got me continuing on with it, just because like aside from like trying to get number one crowns, it's like getting the themes, and again playing having Fire Emblem themes, and of course like the God Star at the at that end at the final 10. Like, yeah, what better way to get to that, like that competition level of like, yeah, I'm the final 10, and I felt the final theme of Fire Emblem Three Houses playing in the background. That was amazing.
There you go. All right, and finally, a kind of an oddball story, but I wanted to mention it for a funny reason. So Nintendo, out of the blue, decided that they were going to send a warning to their gamers. Well, what was the warning? Well, the warning was that you should charge your Switch every 6 months.
What?
Yeah. So according to them, or according to reports, apparently the battery on the Switch, if not fully charged for 6 months, or at least partially charged for 6 months, There is a chance that you won't be able to turn it on again. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, we've been basically using our Switch ever since release, like every single day. I pretty much leave
Don't
myself in the
push it.
bloody dock while it's charging, because even when I'm not like playing again, I still leave it in my dock, and you say like charge every 6 months.
Months. Months.
So, like, what are we supposed to like if we like is it supposed to like if we leave it outside the dock or not charge it for the entire 6 months, it won't turn on again?
Yeah.
So we had to keep a constant charge
Well,
to the
not
system.
constantly, but it has have to have a charge. So like imagine this. So imagine if after Age of Calamity, okay, so that's November. So you beat it in 10 days. I know you'll beat it in sooner, but still. So that's December, right? So then for whatever reason, you don't play the Switch for another 6 months. Okay? So you don't charge it, you don't touch it, it's just collecting dust, and then one day you decide to, hey, I want to play Tetris 99 again. And you go to charge up your Switch and you realize it's not charging. So you check your charger, that's working. It's your Switch, because apparently if you don't have a charge on it for over 6 months, it's dead. Yeah.
Is this like confirms? Like,
Yes, this is
I know
correct.
the
It was
news.
an official Nintendo thing.
Yeah, I'll wait for for consumers to actually like send videos like to actually test this out, say,
But
but.
that's the problem. That's why it's so stupid, Will, because like you said, if you're a frequent player of the Switch, this is almost like an impossibility.
Right. So why, like, one? Okay, I get it. You want to go be have a disclosure for your consumers. Okay, great and all, but isn't that kind of a design flaw? Because like you're saying that you like again, we're constantly playing our Switch. So as you said, it's pretty much nigh impossible for this to happen. But the fact like I don't know if by some reason like the next generation system is gonna take our time away from the Switch and it says like we don't play for 6 months or half a year, and then we like yeah, shouldn't that. Yeah, that design flaw seems to be like, what? It's like, so we have to keep a charge on this thing within 6 months, or is it gonna be dead? So, what? Nintendo? Like, isn't this something you should probably ex like explore or maybe fix down the line? That's what I'm just kind of confused about. Like.
But it's not something that really needs to be fixed. It's just that it's something that you wouldn't think about telling people. And then I guess somebody had to have triggered this conversation. All right. But it's not a design flaw. It's that there are honestly some batteries out there that don't charge in the right way. And if you don't keep it charged, then it's going to be dead, because it has no, it's a natural flaw of a battery to not contain a charge if it's dead for too long. Like a car battery. All right, like it can only carry a charge for so long, and if you leave it dead and try and charge it up again, it's not going to work. So, but it's just like it's so random. Like, are you really expecting people to not keep it charged at least a little for over 6 months? Are you expecting them not to play it for 6 months? Like, that's a no.
Yeah, it's
No.
just so odd that you just share this news now and like, really? Like, yeah, that's not gonna happen, but yeah, that just seems kind of weird. It's just so weird.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because that is like a very weirdly timed story. But what else will we expect from Nintendo? So, all right. And so heading to our main event, in lieu of the reveal of Minecraft Steve, I have Fury. We're gonna ha take a look at the gaming icons and mascots of various generations and look at their place in history right now. How they have evolved over time, what their current status is, and how it all really ties together. So we're going to bring this to a forefront, I suppose, in a Nintendo discussion. All right, well, you're the one who came up with this idea, so why don't you t start this all off?
So yeah, like the reason I brought, as I said, with Steve like
I have
being
Fury.
show, sh Steve showing off for Smash Bros., it just got me to thinking of like, Again, since the birth of the gaming industry, we just had so many ideas and mascots come and go throughout the generations. Like, again, we have the original Game and Watch, we had Jumpman, Donkey Kong, and of course, as the years goes on, we have Cloud Strife, Snake, Spyro, Crash, and now with this current new generation of after 2000, we have like, yeah, Halo, Minecraft Steve, and like even other product characters we wouldn't really consider quote unquote icons, but they have impacted the gaming landscape, like Kratos of God of War and other such characters. So it just got me to think, like, what really like defines these changes and ideas? Because again, as the gaming industry continues to grow and like continue along with technology and as well with our lives, like a lot of things have changed, and it just kind of made, in a sense, it has got me a bit more nostalgic of what has happened throughout the years. And of course, this kind of bit of influence from the recent documentary of a High Score from Netflix. That's one thing I
Loved High
appreciate.
Score. I keep meaning to bring that up. I loved High Score. That was such a good thing. I totally won season two. And despite what a certain what do we want to call him? Acquaintance, co-worker, whatever you want to call him, despite what this certain person thinks, Smash Brothers should be in High Score because its origin is important. So suck it.
So yeah, like so I just kind of want to talk about recently again, like again, just the changes of throughout these years, throughout like, pretty much like the whole, it feels like almost yeah 40 years of gaming now, because ever since like the early 1980s. And yeah, of course, naturally, since we're Nintendo, we got to talk about Mario and just like how much it pretty much just changed this landscape. And again, Mario, we always knew, like again, ever since the Donkey Kong arcade machines, like Mario is just Mario, a simple Italian plumber from Brooklyn, made from a Japanese company with, and just it was such an interesting concept. But for some odd reason, again, this is the guy that literally saved the gaming industry, and just like now is the thing that populated today. So, and of course, naturally, many people want to go and continue along with this trend, of course, and naturally that's what led up to Sega with making with Sonic. And of course, naturally that rivalry is forever eternally timeless, because again, like Mario and Sonic, like Nintendo and Sega, like those things were butting head to head. And of course, naturally, it was like Sega trying to one up it with Sega Sanshiro, and of course their commercials, just everybody was trying to get that piece of the pie the mascot ideology. Of course, Sony was trying to deal with it with like Crash, Bandicoot, Spyro and all that. But I just never seen the like got in touch with it. It just never really that's like got that icon set. I mean, sure, it was popular, sure, but it just never felt wasn't as big like with Nintendo's Mario. So it just wondering like from Mario, like what is it that just like remains eternally timeless? And like how is it like now like Mario that we grew up with Mario from the like early 1990s? They can be easily be, I don't know, somewhat even compare like now with the new generation, compare now with Minecraft Steve. Like, of course, I maybe I'm just an old guy. Like back in my time, Mario was the best thing ever. And now, like, I don't know, perhaps a 5-year-old kid somewhere like, no, Minecraft Steve is the best character ever. Like, will you whippersnapper?
I will kill him. I will kill anyone who says that. I don't care.
It's just that. Like, I wouldn't say discrepancy, but it's just like that whole generation gaps of all these years. Like, how is it like we changed it from from Mario and of course naturally all these characters in the roster of Super Smash Brothers, and now up now with the current present day of Steve. Like, how much has it changed? So that's why I want to like basically discuss with you, Todd. And I wish Tyler was here, because again, he would basically talk about more about Sonic, but
Oh, I'm getting to Sonic. I've got you covered, Tyler. Oh, yes. I've got it covered.
so yeah, that's what I wanted to discuss. Like, how much like it's just so much change, because again, we start with Mario, a simple a platformer Jumpman. Of course, he naturally and then basically pioneered 3D gaming with Super Mario 64, and of course, naturally with Super Mario 3D All Stars recently. It just kind of like reminded you again, like why Mario is pretty much the face of gaming in general, and now like again with other franchises, what, like, with Cloud Strife of Final Fantasy, Kratos of God of War, Master Chief of Xbox fame for Halo. Like, what changed throughout these years? That's what I want to discuss.
Well, it's a lot of things, Will, and it's all about progression. Because think about it, in the earliest of days with the arcade games, there wasn't any real mascots up until Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. And Pac-Man, as we found out in High Score, was actually tailored to female gamers because they thought that the cute Pac-Man character, or the developers thought that the cuter Pac-Man character would attract in the female gamers, and sure enough, they were right. You know, and so Pac-Man became iconic, and then Donkey Kong became iconic just because of the structure of the game. And then when, of course, the Great Crash of 1983 happened, and Mario came along, it was easy to root for Mario because he was a character that you could understand. He had a simple goal to get to the end of the level, and as his games evolved, so did he. So that was very simple. Then, of course, with Sega, which, as far as we all know, Sonic was literally created to be a rival to Mario. You know, Mario is slow. Let's make him fast. Mario is older. You know, he's a man with a job and, you know, trying to save a princess. Okay, let's make Sonic like a teen. Let's make him have attitude and, you know, be waiting for the gamer to play something. If not, he's going to leave because Sonic don't wait for nobody. You know, it was that progression of, you know, how do we do this and do it better? And then with what you kind of forgot, two very important gaming icons, when the PlayStation came around, they had two in Crash Bandicoot and Spyro. You know, they were very crazy. One was a crazy Bandicoot, and one was a dragon trying to save the world. And yet these resonated. And then if you go into, like, the other franchises, like Ryu from Street Fighter. Yeah, he's an icon in his own right because he was part of one of the biggest fighting games ever in Street Fighter 2. And then you got, of course, Mortal Kombat, which is full of iconic characters and mascots like Liu Kang, Raiden, and Scorpion, who became the defunct mascot of the series. And on and on. And, of course, Halo was what it was for Xbox, and that was their killer app that they're still waiting to get the next game out. Waiting, Xbox. Waiting. I'm not really waiting. I don't play Halo. But what it really comes down to is that they just try and keep pushing things. And sometimes the pushing comes via console. Sometimes the pushing comes because of genres, like with Lara Croft. Lara Croft is obviously an icon right there along with Samus Aran. And with Lara, she was, you know, the gun-toting real woman versus, you know, the space mercenary with Samus. And a lot of people connected with Lara, especially after her reboot with Rise of the Tomb Raider, you know, where she became, like, the more gritty, realistic Lara Croft that everyone fell for. And then the third game happened and no one talks about Lara anymore. So, you know, it's about evolution and also just trying to appeal to people on various levels. This is why I've always said that Smash Brothers is a game of gaming generations, because you look at the roster, especially the Ultimate roster, and you've got, you know, so many first and third party characters. Joker is a great example of this. Persona has had legendary characters. Like, I of course know about Mitsuru from Persona 3, and then there was the one from 4?
Yunotakami, the main
protagonist. Sure. Yeah, I can't remember the names, but I remember Mitsuru because of Death Battle. You know this. Mm-hmm. But then Joker comes out. All right, Joker comes out, and all of a sudden Persona's like the biggest thing ever. Why? Because they made a character that resonated with people. Did they expect Joker to be that big? Probably not. But it got that big because of timing and good character development and a very fun game that they need to bring to Switch. I'm just saying, I have fury.
I'm really surprised we still haven't heard anything from, like, Tokyo Game Show. Like, yeah, that would probably be the perfect time to reveal that, I don't know, Persona 5 Scrambled come to the Switch stateside.
We're not that lucky.
No, we got nothing.
No,
come
not
on, Nintendo.
Not Nintendo, Atlas. It's their fault.
Oh, yeah, Atlas.
Yeah. Oh, we want to hear what games you want to bring us to bring to Switch. We want Persona 5! It's like, oh, we just need you to tell us what you want. We want Persona 5! Anyway. But and then some gaming icons just happen out of nowhere, you know, like Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, sure.
That's a great example. You know, Rare was, of course, doing their thing with Donkey Kong Country and Donkey Kong Country 64, and they say, hey, let's just make our own characters. They made Banjo-Kazooie, and Tyler had a fan favorite for the rest of his life. And then Nuts and Bolts happened, which was horrible, but he defends it for God knows what reason. And but people wanted Banjo in Smash Bros. Because Banjo was born on the Nintendo platforms, and they had a connection with him because the first two games were really good. And even like in Minecraft, you know, does Minecraft really have a main character? No, but Minecraft Steve came about for one reason or another, and then the zombie and Enderman and Alex, you know, just kind of happened, and now they're iconic because everyone thinks of Minecraft Steve when you think of Minecraft. And that just happened. I'm sure the Mahjong people who made the game didn't think, oh yeah, we're gonna make this game, it's gonna sell like 160 million units, and then like,
Correction, it's Mojang, not
whatever.
Mahjong.
Whatever. I can't see the ellipses and tildes and whatever to make me sound it right. I know Mahjong the game, and so that's what I call it. It's Mahjong. You play Mahjong? No, I win at Mahjong. If you don't know that reference, that's Jackie Chan Adventures. Watch a TV show.
Okay, I mean, get in respect to Mojang, like, yeah. Since again with Minecraft, it just seems like how much the generation has changed. Because like when Mojang was creating this game, like again, as he said, he just wanted this game to be like again very simple with the whole cube aesthetic, and then just make anything I'd be with a creativity with, of course, with other things that was added later on, like with the story of Ender Dragon, the portals, yada yada yada. You basically make your own goals in life. Like it's like that open world, open-ended game that you can either spend as much time or as little time as you want. And it's just like we never knew back then of how big it would have impacted the gaming generation, that it was still having a big effect to this day. Like now, like originally from Xbox, from PC, now it pretty much is now everywhere, from smart devices, even to, heck, you can download on an Amazon Kindle, for I can tell. It's just like, again, I get it that times are changing, and of course ideas are change, and of course technology as well. Of course, naturally with y the younger generation, many people like that's kind of thing with why Nintendo brought 3D All Stars, because they want to remind the generation of what Mario was way back when, like back on the SP4 days. So when the younger generation ha gets started with Minecraft, the generation that began with Minecraft. Like many kids would just say, like, yeah, Minecraft Steve is one of the best games ever. This is what what gaming should be.
Shut
Like,
up.
money. I'm just saying as a hypothetical, and I know people are gonna get mad because, heck, myself could like, you don't respect your elders. You don't have no idea how hard, how easy you have back in the generation we grew up in. And yeah, I get it. And unfortunately, like, that's unfortunately the reality of it. Like. There will be kids that will not know Mario, which is the sad, that is the reality, the grim reality. And many people don't even know what a Walkman is, which, like, is again, times will change, and people, and there will be kids who will not know what these technologies are. The fact that we don't have a CD player anymore, now we have Android devices and smartphones. I mean, same thing with gaming. Many people are gonna not know like these great classic series until like. Either they bring it back via collection like 3D All Stars, or just like being remastered to current gen systems, and it's just again, it's that generation gap of again. Many people are gonna say Minecraft Steve is gonna be their icon. For us, Mario will always be the icon in general, and that's like kind of like the thing of us older generation. We had to kind of have to teach them like respect your
Well,
elders.
it's not even about that, Will. It's that, you know, what are you exposed to? Like, I know many people who love Halo. I've played one Halo game my entire life. It was ODST, which is apparently the worst Halo game ever. And I even played the worst missions because I had to keep alternating with my friends. So I was doing the recon missions while they were doing the fighting missions. And so I had like the worst experience ever. But there are people who played like the original Halo trilogy and will swear that it's like one of the best game trilogies ever. And then, you know, like, but they were exposed to that, you know. And then for like the PS2 generation, they had, of course, Kingdom Hearts, which is its own icon. It had, you know, the Final Fantasy 12, which I played, which I thought was very good. And, you know, of course, some of the better Metal Gear games that was on PS2,
And God of War
God of
began
War.
on PS2.
So it's all about exposure, you know. I admit I've never played a Persona game. I want to play Persona 5, and part of that is because I understand Joker and I know like his character more or less, and you know, and of course between Smash Brothers, I want to see his story. And but for others, they haven't gotten a Nintendo platform for what one reason or another, and they don't understand like. And this is what I'm waiting for all show about.
Oh
Let's
boy.
talk about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh boy.
Because Sonic is a great example of a rise and fall of a gaming icon. Because when he started out, he literally, pun intended, like sped right out of the gate. You know, it was Sega's attempt to really get a stake in the video game market. They had the perfect icon, no doubt, Tyler. Or Sonic is a great gaming icon, and his first couple games were just, you know, let's gotta go fast and let's get the going. And people were interested. It's like this is a faster pace. This is more my speed, and it just kept growing and building and building. And then eventually we got like Sega 2006, or sorry, Sonic 2006. It was just horrible, and they started making bad games like the Sonic and the Black Knight, Sonic Werewolf, or whatever that one was.
Unleashed,
Yeah, Sonic Unleashed, and then there was like Sonic Generations, and that one wasn't too bad. But by that point, like a lot of Sonic fans had gotten disenfranchised because Mario, at this point, even with Sunshine, which we talked about last week, you know, it still had Galaxy. It still had Superstar Saga. It still had Paper Mario when it was good, and you know, and Mario Party when it was good, and Mario Kart, which is always good, and so on and so forth. Mario really didn't let people down a lot versus Sonic that did, and then Sonic Boom happened. So, yeah, it's a curious thing because Sonic for the longest time was one of the best gaming icons, and yet now people say, oh yeah, that's Sonic, yeah, he was great back on Sega Genesis, versus Mario, where you can say, oh, Mario, yeah, I love playing Odyssey. That's the difference. And then another good example is Mortal Kombat. You know, Mortal Kombat, which was also a great showcase on a high score. They wanted to make a game that was everything Street Fighter wasn't. Different kinds of characters, even more outlandish, even more violent. And for a time, it was the best game, or one of the best fighting games ever, and one of the most technical. And then it just got so convoluted in its own storyline and characters that they're like, okay, we're gonna restart this whole thing. They did that with 9, and then what happens? 9, 10, and 11 are some of the biggest games in their franchise, with 11 breaking all the records for Mortal Kombat. Why? Because they refocused on what made Mortal Kombat special, focused on the characters, and made it worthwhile. So sometimes the real power of an icon isn't just how it came to be, but how it's impacted multiple gaming generations. Mario is eternal for that reason. Link is eternal for that reason. Samus could have been, but her games just have this like long gaps between them. Same with Donkey Kong, he kind of fell off, even with when Retro did good things like with Returns and Tropical Freeze. Captain Falcon's like the ultimate cult classic icon because he's more popular because of Smash Brothers than his own freaking game. So, you know, and like if look at Spyro and Crash. You know, like they were the biggest things on the original PlayStation and even on PlayStation 2. Then they fell off the face of the earth, got their reignited and insane trilogies, and now we're getting Crash 4 About Time. Like that's the and whether that leads to more Crash games, we don't know. Or look at Jak and Daxter. Ratchet and Clank. You know, like again, it's about consistency with their icons, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you need a reboot or a spiritual kind of evolution, like with the God of War games. That was a great example. And sometimes you don't get that. And then you have ones like Halo, where they had like the perfect games, they had like the perfect trilogy, then they just kept trying to go bigger and better, and it's backfired on them more times than they want to admit. And now Halo Infinite's like an infinite amount of delays because they're trying to make sure they don't screw this one up. So it's all about exposure and how they keep what kind of exposure they get. Because if a game sucks, we're gonna remember. We're gamers. We don't like letting this stuff go.
True. And yeah, that is true regarding the whole exposure part. And I guess that is like how in the sense that's how why Minecraft is this the known series as many people are. And now with the extra exposure from Smash Brothers, it's just like, yeah, we know Minecraft and people know Minecraft. Even, as much again, I know you hate like he takes up the
I hate him.
spot,
I hate him
but
so much.
again, He is part of game regardless.
I have
And
Fury.
again, like with a lot of, again, we never thought, like, Hex, there were times where we had Snake or Cloud, Sonic. Like, we never would have thought that these people would actually get into Smash. And lo and behold, here they are now. And now with these different characters like Joker, Banjo-Kazooie, of course, now leading up to Minecraft Steve, is just, as you said, the exposure of these characters is because, like, you either know, 9 times out of 10, I feel like you would know these characters.
Yeah.
Like, ever since, like, yeah, even from the original roster of Captain Falcon. I mean, Captain Falcon, barely known unless you played SNK games. Now he has exposure, even though we have not had a game from him for, like, how many years?
Too many,
And of course,
too many.
and now with, of course, like, even the same thing with, like, Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem was only Japanese known, and now lo and behold, we got games what the wazoo from the from Intelligent System, because again,
Exactly.
that Smash Brothers bump. And then, like, that's just so much that plays a role in that. Like, even with, like, in assist trophies as well, or even Mii costumes. Like, again,
Yeah.
who would have thought that Undertale
Yeah,
would make it
Sans.
into it, or Sans? And of course, like, yeah, Scott. That saga I played with the creator of Undertale with him in his own home. It's just like, wow, who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Yeah.
It's just like, as I said, the exposure of all these games like Undertale, Minecraft, and all going all the way back to Mario is just like.
And sometimes you don't know what's going to be a hit or not. And like that's something that can't be ignored. And Undertale is the greatest example ever of that, because Undertale is and always will be one of the least visually impressive games ever, but it doesn't really matter because the gameplay and the story and the twists behind it and characters like Sans make you love it. I've honestly never played, but I know people who do, and one of those people happens to be a wrestler by the name of Kenny Omega. And not once, but twice in his wrestling career, he has used Undertale to be an entrance theme or video for his matches, including in one of the biggest stages in the world in Wrestle Kingdom. And he did a full Undertale theme of the demons of the game trying to corrupt Kenny Omega, and Sans comes out and saves him. And then the second time he does it when he was doing All Elite Wrestling, and Sans says, "Hey, can I take over here, Kenny?" And then he comes out in the Sans garb and in the mask. Why? Because he got just that love for this game. And that's the beauty of gaming and all these icons. You are always going to love some of these characters with all you have. Like, I am always going to be a fan of Pokemon, and I dress up as Ash Ketchum when I do my Comic Cons because it's a very simple cosplay, and I just have fun doing it. And everyone knows I'm Ash, even though I'm not, 100% accurate in my look. And Kenny likes doing Sans, and he calls himself the One-Winged Angel because he loves Final Fantasy and Sephiroth. It's true. And then like I'll always love Ike because to me he's like one of the greatest characters ever made, but I still love Link. He's still my eternal favorite, and so on and so forth. These icons and these mascots, they represent all these generations and all these games that mattered to people on one level or another. And yes, Minecraft Steve is obviously in that category. And
As
I
much as you hate,
understand
as
on a
much as you
certain
hate.
level why he's in Smash Brothers. I get it. But oh, you know what I also get? The fury that I have! I have fury! So
Careful, your fire is starting to, it's enough to roast marshmallows on
the fire still burns.
it.
Fire still burns. All right, final thoughts. Well, let's wrap this up.
So yeah, just again, with who knows what with regard to the ideas of icons, and of course, naturally, as the game industry continues on, like, who knows what the future will bring. And of course, naturally, with this topic, it just probably maybe is a good clue in to think about of, like, which character may be the next thing for Smash. Again, it could be, I don't know, could be Shantae, could be like Master Chief for all we care, could be Kratos, or heck, even Travis Touchdown. As much as I really want to pull for Travis Touchdown, but who knows if that's going to be happening. But yeah, like, for our listeners here, definitely think about, like, again, how much, like, what your definition of an icon is. It definitely could be from exposure, could be of, again, maybe perhaps even nostalgia. Just, like, definitely think about, like, what you think like, the icon is throughout the generations. And who knows, perhaps, like, you may think of something, and perhaps it's a good clue of who the next Smash Bros. Character would be. So yeah, definitely do think about, like, what you think an icon is.
I just realized there is one good thing about having Steve in the game.
Oh.
We don't have to worry about him coming twice.
True, true.
The fury that I would have would be
Because again, this
legendary.
is the last. This will be. It's pretty much top Smash Bros. Game ever in this lifetime. There's no way to get to make
No,
this
they're
happen.
never going to
So
do this again.
yeah. So
Sakurai will never do this again. So enjoy it while you can, Minecraft people. All right, you got your victory. Now let us get back to our rest of our lives. All right. All
yeah.
right. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, now you can hear me.
Oh, he's not here. Ah, okay.
Fine, jerk. No, he's not. We did have a poll last week anyway. So let's get. I don't know. I can't access the account, so I might have to have him do it for me. But if we do put up the poll will be simply: Are you okay with Steven Smash Brothers? Yes, no, I have Fury.
Hush.
I want to see how many people will agree with me that I have Fury.
I think we're probably gonna let Tyler know
I
that.
will let Tyler know. But
Yeah.
and if it doesn't go up, you can just tell us in the comments below anyway. And of course. Are you excited for the Crown Tundra coming out later this month? Are you already decorating your island in Halloween apparel? Are you going to be trying out Super Mario 35? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. The end made it to the end of the level, so raise the. Steve? Steve, what did you do to my flag? My flag is not a box! What did you do to my flag, Steve? Dang you, Steve! I have fury! Raise the flag!